Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets, and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello, I'm Mike, my birthing partner, and I just got our new Lysnica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysnica Freedom Microchip. Since SHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their Freedom Microchip, I jumped on the Lysnica joint.
This Freedom Chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this Freedom Chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting a gene therapy.
These Freedom Chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee with inserted in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysnica track and trace your every move. You just need a Freedom Chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysenica Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireizer. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for being with us tonight. Today is Tuesday, so we do have a couple of special treats here. So I'm not alone tonight. We do have auditioning for the regular co-hosting spot. We have Heather Liberty that's going to join us in just a second, as well as any minute, we are going to be joined by big YouTuber Economic Ninja, as we're going to discuss several things in regards to finance and money. And if you out there in Radio Land want to be a part of the show tonight, we can definitely take your calls. The number here is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and we will make it a point to bring you into the conversation tonight. So with that, let's go ahead and have the debut of Heather Liberty get started here. Welcome in, Heather.
Thank you, Prue.
That's you.
Glad to be here.
No, you're welcome. We always try to give you an applause. We want you to feel good about not coming in. You don't want the Nelson. Do you know what the Nelson is?
Oh, can we? Say that again?
Heather, do you know what the Nelson is?
I don't. I know what the Nelson effect is, but I'm not sure I want to hear the Nelson. Sounds pretty bad.
That one. You don't want that.
Love the Simpsons. Yeah, we don't want the Simpsons, but every once in a while I get Nelsons quite often here in my household. So.
Okay.
I might give
all right, so
one or
while
two
we have
well.
A quick second before our guest joins us, he's going to join us here any minute. So since nobody here has, you've never been on my show, you barely heard of a Proof Negative a couple of days ago. So talk to us. Where are you from? What's your favorite topics? What do we expect to hear from you, et cetera? And by then, like I said, I'm expecting our guest to come on here any minute.
All right. Looking forward to having him on. I'm from Utah originally. Lived in Arizona for a little while. Some of my big hot topics are medical freedom, religious freedom, constitutional values and rights. I'm a lobbyist. I'm the founder of Constitutional Defense of Utah and also Patriots Prepared. I like to teach what little I know on outdoor survival and edibles.
Okay. So is there a lot of good foraging to do up in northern Utah?
Oh, there's foraging to be done everywhere. Yeah, one of the, some of my favorite places to go are just local parks. You'd be surprised at how many wild edibles you can find just right at your feet at every time you visit a park.
I'm known for taking a sprig or two of rosemary when I go out, if I see a rosemary bush, because I'll stick it in my car for air fresheners. But when it's right in front of where the cars park, I'm not going to use that for food, but I'll use it for aromatics, I guess.
You know, not only are they great for aromatics, but they're great for headaches. They're actually an antimicrobial, so you can actually use it to kill germs. I've actually taken that along with basil to help kill food poisoning, so it'll knock it on its feet.
Right. I know that rosemary has a tendency to end migraines. It's great for memory and improving memory, among some other issues.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a good one. So rosemary, that was a little bit harder to find in my area, but one that most people know that's a very common wild edible is dandelion, and that's got some great medicinal value.
Right.
And great taste. You know, I don't know if you've have you ever eaten dandelion?
Oh, I use dandelion quite often around here.
Very nice. Yeah, you said you like tea, so dandelion tea is actually pretty tasty.
Yeah, if somebody wants to impress me, I like white tea with fruity stuff in it. Like, the more exotic, the better. Like, passion fruit's one of my favorites, mangosteen, lychee. That stuff is always, that's always great.
You know, I've never tried lychee. Tell me about the flavor.
Oh, my favorite fruit is rambutans, and that's my band name, actually. So that song you heard, I only play my own original stuff before getting on the show.
Yeah, I love it. Beautiful sound. Very hypnotic.
Oh, thank you. Flattery gets you everywhere around here.
Well, don't take it too, I mean, don't get too used to it. I'm better at insults.
No, that's fine.
You'll know you're in our circle when we insult you. You'll be one of us.
So we have a lot of Asian markets out here in Las Vegas, believe it or not. So I get to rummage through them every so often, and I look for stuff that I can't get on a regular basis. So
nice.
I actually have a dragon fruit tree.
Wow, that's fantastic. So,
yeah, well, it's a cactus. It'll grow out here.
Interesting. When do you harvest the dragon fruit typically?
Well, it's a brand new tree to me, so it hasn't gotten anything yet. I'm hoping this summer we'll have its first crop.
Well, I may have to have you send me some so I can add that to my tea.
The one thing I was looking for was cactus, it is a cactus, so it doesn't need a ton of water. And when you're doing food preps and you're worried about people maybe ransacking your trees, I figured a dragon fruit is one of those things that a lot of people have not eaten, and the average thief out there, they're not willing to try new stuff. If they see something weird and different, they're going to move on. If it doesn't look like an apple or an orange or a banana, they'll probably exit stage left. So that's what I was thinking on this.
I think that's smart in your thinking. Yeah, and I just Googled. I've never actually seen a dragon fruit tree, and just Googled it, and it does look a little intimidating.
Yeah, mine's only like 6 foot tall, so it's still a baby, I guess you could say.
Nice. Very nice. Well, I love the flavor of dragon fruit. I think it's delicious. There's a couple different kinds. Now, aren't there two different colors of dragon fruit?
There are three.
Okay.
So the two main ones are purple on the outside, and the more popular one is white on the inside, and it has a ton of seeds like a kiwi.
I've had that one.
And then there's the same kind, but on the inside it's a really fluorescent fuchsia kind of color. And the third flavor is yellow on the outside and I would say maybe an off-white, like a whitish yellow. That's the most sweetest of the three.
And I don't think I've tried that species as of yet. We'll see if I can find that. So which species is yours?
I don't remember. Well, I haven't had a fruit come off it yet, but I know it's one of the purple ones, and I don't know what the inside looks like until I crack it open.
Well, that'll be an adventure. That's pretty exciting.
So I also have a tower
garden.
Do you grow
any other exotic fruits?
No, I have a tower garden, though.
Very nice.
Have you seen those?
I have. In fact, I've considered getting one, but I haven't pulled the trigger on that one as of yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, it gets costly. It was like $500 when I bought it.
Nice. But I'm, you know, I hear they, you know, provide quite a bit of fruit and vegetables, and yeah, in a nice little ergonomic fashion. I think they look great. So definitely look forward to getting my first. And you must have gotten a larger one. Don't they? They have different sizes. So you must have got invested in a pretty good size one.
Yeah, about the one that you could put up 20 things in at once.
Very nice. Well, that's exciting. Well, and you've got a great growing season down there in Nevada. So yours is a little longer than ours.
Yeah, well, mine's just in my back patio, and I also have grow lights just in case if it gets under 35, then I have to put the lights on.
All right.
The grow lights will save it maybe 2 or 3 degrees just to make sure it's in frost. And it barely gets under 30 degrees at all out here, so I don't really have to stress over that too much. But right now I have chard that is looking really good. The house rule is that if a spot in the tower garden dies in the winter or in the hot summer months, I have to wait until the temperatures are consistently above like 65 or under 100. So I have two different times of the year, basically, where I'll fill in the holes. Because good luck trying to get some seeds to go when the overnight low is 34 or the high in the summer is 114. So I have to pick my moments, I guess. And if something dies, then it just has to be blind for a month or two or whatever it is.
Sure, that's pretty normal. And you said you're growing chard.
Yes, switch yard, yes.
I am a huge greens girl. I love my greens.
I don't like collards, though.
Why do you not like collards?
I also don't like mustard greens, so
I
don't know. I put it in my mouth, and it doesn't taste well enough for me to complete the task, and I spit it out.
Have you considered mixing them? Do you saute them?
I spent 3 years in Jacksonville, Florida. I had tons of people say I just didn't eat them right.
I would have to agree with them.
No, I even grew it in the tower garden once. I had some sprout up, and I didn't like them then either.
Everybody has their preferences. I won't judge you for not liking your mustard greens.
All right, I am thinking that we have our guest here. If you listening out there, Mr. Economic Ninja, if you are ready, which he is, I am going to go right to him. I didn't want to get into anything too heavy because I knew that he was coming on. So thank you for the tower garden and vegetable discussion. We'll move on here. We have a bunch of different economic news I want to get into. This gentleman here runs a big YouTube channel called Economic Ninja with almost 320,000 subscribers and millions of views over the years. So I want to go ahead and bring on the Economic Ninja. Welcome in, sir.
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thank you for thanking me. So welcome in. I know you had limited time, so I just wanted to bring you in. So thank you for that. A number of different things that I wanted to ask about, and I saw some new topics. I haven't looked at your channel since Friday, and I didn't realize. I'll ask this first, if you may, because I eventually want to get into the PayPal stuff because of it being almost tax season, but the used car prices are dropping in value?
They are, but not – so it's funny. My channel started a couple of years ago, and I've been an economic cycles guy since really right as the Great Recession was starting, about 2007. It really started in earnest in 2006, but in 2007 I started to really wake up to the fact that these economic cycles are extremely predictable. They happen every 7 to 10 years, and every big economic cycle or bust happens every 50 or 100-year cycle. And we're at a 100-year cycle right now. And when I start talking about the prices of cars going down, it's because I've already am seeing the sale of cars stopping. And that doesn't exactly translate to lower prices right away. We are seeing some places that are starting to lower their prices. But right now, as of literally right now this week, you know, companies like CarMax and Carvana, they do not want to lower their prices because they're honestly at that prideful state where they don't want to take those write-downs. And even when they do, they're going to sell them on the secondary market at a loss to try and save face. So when you go to your local dealer right now, the one obvious sign that the car market is imploding is inventory is absolutely exploding. And the only deals you can get on cars right now are cars that the dealers have bought on the auctions just recently for lower prices.
Okay. Because I'm in the market for a used car, so I was happy to see that. So one thing that I noticed, though, last year, last March, because I work from home at during the day, and then I have this radio network. I also run a nonprofit. So I, in essence, have three jobs that I spend full time with, and I am home all day, literally. So I had a brand new car right before COVID happened in 2020. And yep. Last year, my wife sold my Hyundai Elantra for like $5,000 more than we paid for it the year before. And I put like 3,000
awesome.
Miles on it. So it was a no-brainer. And
yep.
I bought a you know what's sad is I bought a 2001 Chrysler Sebring convertible with 48,000 miles on it. I paid $3,500 for it.
Nice.
I haven't even put 200 miles on it because I don't go anywhere. And if I go somewhere, it's on the weekend with my wife, but I still would like to have a car. So now my 18-year-old is about to get his license, and I'm looking for a car again. Is that something I should explore as a late model car, maybe not from a dealer name, so to speak, but you said from going to these auction sites?
Yeah, so Manheim put out their September numbers, and they were completely abysmal. They showed, and I don't remember the price point or the lowered sales point off the top of my head, but it was over 10% month over month. That's the percentage in the sales price that they saw plummet. That was a big drop. We've also seen other car companies like CarMax and Carvana see month over month massive sales declines. Not the price, but the decline. Now, the auction is different than a dealer because the
right.
dealers are buying from auctions primarily. So the dealers are getting lower-priced cars, and those are showing up on the lots, and the reason why, and they're selling for less. And that's proven because we're seeing Kelley Blue Book and other companies that come out and show the average price of cars, like Car Gurus is a great example. They show that in the last month, the average price of cars fell, the actual sales price. But those are the cars that, like I said, are just getting picked up in quarter three of 2022 by these dealerships. The dealerships are still sitting on massive inventories of used cars that they overpaid for. And there are a lot of dealers, 9 out of 10 dealers, aren't that, let's put it's that pride that comes before a fall. They say, there's no way I'm going to take a loss on a car. And then it's 3 or 4 months later, they're taking a $3,000, $4,000 loss on a car because they weren't reading the tea leaves or seeing the signs early enough. And what I'm telling people is if you want to wait, because I've got 5 or 6 cars that are on a list that I want to buy this next year, and I'm waiting till quarter three. And the reason why, and going back to the theory, it has to be a theory now of the definition of recession because the president decides, you know, or the White House decides, hey, let's change the definition. Normally, it's 2 or more consecutive quarters of declining GDP growth. And now everyone's got that in their minds, right? So now think about this. We're about to receive the quarter results from all these car companies from the last quarter of 2022. 2023, first and second quarter are going to be even worse. And we're going to know that because we know that ahead of time because the Federal Reserve is going to continue to raise rates.
which is going to squeeze the consumer. They're not going to be able to afford as much or as expensive of a vehicle going into the new year. When you have two consecutive quarters of horrible sales numbers coming out of all of the sector, all of the car industry, you are going to see people running for the hills, and some of those people are going to be actual dealers that are going, if I don't sell my flooring right now, I sell some inventory right now, I'm not going to be able to pay for my flooring, by which is the a term, an industry term for the amount that they're paying on the loans for all of the cars on their floor. And so we're going to see a mass liquidation event. On top of that, a lot of this inventory is still coming from repos, which are at a historic high. So that's what I'm telling people. If you need a car right now, just stick with the bare bones. I'm nursing a car myself right now, and I'm going to turn that into some amazing deals here in the future.
Okay. See, I guess what happened last year when there was a car shortage, it just created a whole new market and all these car dealerships. It's just strange. I'm in Las Vegas, a mega city, and you might have, like, let's just say Jim Moon Kia, for example. And they have no new Kias from this year or last year. So when you drive past, you normally see the brand new Kias, like the Stinger and the Sedona or whatever. And they have out there 2018 Toyota Camrys and 2017 Honda Accords, where they would normally have new cars. And it was just strange to see. And I guess all these dealers were worried about having cars to sell, so they were overpaying.
Exactly right. And Kia is in a realm all of its own. They had horrible supply chain issues. I actually went to a Kia dealership to pick up a Stinger. They had two that they had just purchased from someone. One of them was purchased from a lease turn-in from one of their salesmen. I said, I'd like to take one. I want that car. And they said, no, we're going to wholesale it. I said, why? And they go, it's not worth our time to fix it up. And that was in 2021. Like, you guys are nuts. You've lost your mind. And that's what they did, and it's showing right now. And the thing is that people, what they don't understand is the time lag that it takes for a panic. Now, let's use cars and put it into context of real estate. Like you said, in 2021, there was a massive shortage of cars, but there was still a certain amount of demand. And so what happened is human beings, they go, oh, my gosh, if I don't get this car now, I'm never going to be able to because the price keeps going up. You know, dealers were throwing out stupid numbers. I went to a Chevy dealer at Tahoe, was $25,000 over MSRP. I'm like, you are high. And I went to a Chevy dealer just recently, and they were $50,000 over MSRP. I went to the dealership down the street, and they said, if you order that car brand new from the dealer, you'll get it from us for MSRP. And so that shows me that, and the one that was $50,000 over MSRP sold in the first day. So you got to go, okay, what kind of consumer was that? Well, it's a total moron, because that guy could have literally went down the street to the other dealership and got a $50,000 discount. So my point being is that human beings, when things get tight, they just imagine that whatever's happening today is going to be like that forever. It's like they can't even remember the last recession, which was called the Great Recession, which was, you know, not that long ago. And so that's exactly what happened in the housing market as well. People go, oh, my gosh, house prices are going up. Interest rates are going up. If I don't buy now, I'm never going to be able to afford. And that is exactly the type of person I was selling my homes to in 2005 that were in utter panic. Give me the house. Give me the house. And I was racing to sell it to them because I knew that we were at the top back then.
So one thing I just couldn't believe about the cars, and you could probably say the same thing here. So my wife's thought last year was that, okay, we'll sell this car that we paid $19,200 for and sell it for $24,800 or whatever it was, and we'll just buy something reasonable for under $10,000. Good luck finding a decent used car with under 100,000 miles and under $10,000. I saw a 2014 Honda Accord, and they wanted $19,200 for it at 168,000 miles.
Yeah, well, there's another phenomenon that happens, and it translates both into real estate and cars. And when people – I'm going to talk in real estate terms, then we'll be able to put it into cars. During the last crash, what happens is at the very top, the peak, the blow-off top in the price of real estate, it always happens because interest rates increase and the available inventory shrinks dramatically. But the reason why the inventory shrinks is because the average person does not have enough money to sell their home and move into a home just like it next door. And the reason why is because the insurance has gone up since they've got their policy. The taxes have gone up. All kinds of different things add into that cost, and obviously the mortgage rate. Well, it's the exact same way in cars. You see, someone couldn't just turn around like yourself. You go, well, I'm going to sell my car. And mind you, you sold your car for $24,000 and went back to a dealer, correct?
Well, I was looking basically everywhere. We eventually bought this one.
No, I mean when you sold your car. When you sold your Hyundai.
Yeah, we sold it to a dealer, right. Yes.
Yeah, so they sold it to someone for $29,000, $30,000, right?
Exactly,
you're looking at this literally like the greater fool theory is playing out right now before our eyes. So what happens is, now you turn around, you go, well, I just took my money, and I would like to get something comparable. There's no way you can do it. Well, I got to go down in value. Well, it's the same way with the real estate market. So as inventory shrinks, the reason why it's shrinking is because people do not have enough money to sell what they have and to even move across, let alone move up in life. You know, turn your Hyundai into a Corvette or the Corvette into a Ferrari. It's the same thing with houses. And so what's funny is I tell people all the time, these cycles are very predictable because it's based on human emotion. And once you figure that out and you can see the signs, you can read the news articles, you can hear the scuttlebutt, you know, at the sports games, what people are talking about, you can figure out exactly where everybody's emotions are tied and how they feel about any kind of economic, you know, thing, real estate market, stock market, all that stuff. Once you start to see that go negative, you better have been cleared out and ready to rock and roll and then have that cash to jump right back in when all of them are laughing at you because you're buying an asset that's dropping. I've done it with cryptocurrency. I've done it with real estate. And next we're going to be doing it with, well, real estate and cars.
All right. So, Heather, I know you have been fairly quiet since our gentleman came in today. And for those that are just joining us, the Economic Ninja from YouTube is with us. And we're going to go into several financial points before he leaves us here in a little bit. Heather, if you have any questions, now's a good time.
Well, it is interesting seeing the market, and you know, back in the big recession that we hit, we were seeing a lot of people purchasing these houses that were up and up and up with these outrageous rates. And I remember when the fall came, they had a lot of bank buyouts, and
yeah,
a lot of banks were being bought out from the federal government, which was taking a lot of tax money too. And then the Frank Dodd Act was implemented. So what are your thoughts on that and how it affects us today?
So the scary thing about bank buyouts from larger banks is you create more of a monopoly. You could say that J.P. Morgan is different than Wells Fargo, but it really isn't. They sit at the exact same table. And if you start to realize that there's fewer and fewer banks out there, that means that you have less and less rights when it comes to your money. Because the banks are the ones that dictate the rate. The banks are the ones that dictate what type of loans you qualify for. And not only that, are they how liquid are those banks to be able to give out those loans? And what we are about to see, and what most people don't realize, we had a very serious semi-liquidity event in 2019, about a month before COVID came out. And it was so bad that the banks around the country did not trust each other. The interbank lending rate spiked, the overnight rate, to a little over 12%. Well, to give you some idea of how bad that is, both right after 9/11, the week after 9/11, and 2008, when Lehman collapsed, the interbank lending rate spiked to 6.25% and 6.75%, I believe, respectively. So to see a spike to 12.5%, and that's exactly when the repo window was opened by the Federal Reserve, an emergency repurchase agreement was opened up. And also, just to let you know, the repo window during the Lehman Brothers collapse wasn't opened until January of 2009, essentially about 4 months after Lehman had went bye-bye, three and a half, 4 months. So they had a heck of a crisis on their hands. So what was the greatest thing ever for them? COVID. Lock everything down. Put liquidity into the banking system, hand a bunch of people money, and make things not solvent again, but turn this into what we witnessed after the Depression of 1920, which, by the way, started from a flu, and it was the Roaring Twenties. So people don't realize that this is literally history repeating itself over and over again. But this 100-year cycle is going to be more compressed and more explosive than what we saw from the Depression of 1920 and the subsequent bust in the 30s.
Yeah, I have to be honest, though. I don't see, and I know these globalists are going to have their Davos meeting this weekend, and they think that they can take over the world, but I don't think personally that we're in a situation right this second where they can rule 7 billion people. I don't think it's far off. I just think it's too soon right now.
Well, I actually see the opposite, but I have a positive end to it. I do believe they can. And the reason why is we witnessed the entire world shutting down. And let's say you got paid off a little bit. People got a little bit of money in their pocket. They were allowed to, you know, whoever didn't want to pay rent, you don't got to pay rent. Whoever doesn't want to show up to work, you don't got to show up to work. Shoot, you can say you're scared. And it sent dopamine firing off in everybody's brains. And that was customer acquisition cost phase one. Scary thing is during this next one, if you have some kind of liquidity event and markets turn down, the Federal Reserve is ready and willing, and literally the president has already signed off on this. They're going to start injecting the digital dollar in July. It's already on the Fed. .gov's website and all that stuff, and that'll be the first time the Federal Reserve ever injects money into your pocket personally, you know, skating around the banks. And the thing is, that's a customer acquisition cost. And so once that's in, it makes it very easy, and you can see them demonizing people left and right through the last 3 years, to stop using cash. And so the problem is that most people don't understand that it's as simple as an acquisition cost. How much do they got to buy us off? And how many people, if you look back in the last 3 years, how many people do you look at and go, you know, I never would have thought that person would think that way, whichever way it is. It really opened up a lot of people's eyes, which is exciting. But here's the positive thing. I do believe the banks want to buy up everybody's home. Why? The Federal Reserve announced it like 10 years ago in different meeting minutes that they could backstop and become big landlords. We've seen it through different arms like BlackRock, Blackstone, things like that. That's coming apart right now. But what I want to do is be able to pick up or tell everybody that can get out of debt, have some cash ready. I want you, the American man and woman that has something ready, that is prepared to be able to purchase not only a home for yourself, but also a rental and become a good landlord. I don't want to see BlackRock, Blackstone, and your pension fund owning all these rentals, because once they buy up all the homes, and they're buying them up pretty quick clips, they're using your pension funds to do it, there's no more homes. There's only so much land out there, and it's really, really sad to watch this happen, because cash for keys in 2010 should have taught everybody how easy it was to rob your house, and the only reason they gave you cash was that you signed a document saying you relinquish rights to your home, and it was because they gave you a loan illegally.
No, that is true. Heather, if you want to jump in, go ahead.
Oh, and I think I'm seeing the same thing, and it's pretty horrific. And we've heard Mr. Schwab say, you know, you'll own nothing and be happy. And it is about that power and control. And I believe a part of the purchase, not only of the homes, doesn't all necessarily have to do with just owning the homes, but I feel like there's a little bit of a resource battle with that as well with our land.
Are you referring to resource battle when we talk about water, oil, air, things like that?
Correct.
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, this day and age, to be able to actually purchase a property with mineral rights is pretty darn difficult. However, one thing that I see and the reason why they would want you to be their tenant is because we are living in a technological explosion right now to where literally, you know, you could be kicked out of a rental based off of something you posted on social media. And that's coming. The technology is there to be able to do all of this. And especially with the digital currency, it's even scarier, even easier to just shut down your bank, limit how much you can pull out, all of that kind of stuff. We've seen countries do it. We've seen, you know, Cyprus and Greece go through that. And anyway, sorry.
No, and I think you're right on. So one thing that's being implemented right here in Utah, I don't know if anyone has heard of it, if you guys have heard of it, but the smart cities and the ESG scores. And that's something that is going to launch pretty quickly here in Draper. and they're wanting to put all sorts of meters and all sorts of tracking devices. They'll be able to track which parks you go to, your activity, your social circles. They're doing it already through Facebook and Twitter. And I mean, even Obama stood up and endorsed iPhone as a part of his, you know, operation because, you know, it's a data collecting device, really.
Well, let's talk about that. I just got back from Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. And one of my YouTube buddies is walking in, and there's a display for facial recognition for the airport. And he wants to do a video on it. And so he walks up, and he goes, well, how does this work? She goes, well, look at this little camera. And he looks up, and boom, it says his name and everything. We're, like, on camera. And it's not like he's ever given any permission, but he has because he uses his face to log into his iPhone. And under the terms and conditions, it says you give them the right to sell that. And so he's literally at a display, a trade show, in real time. They go, there you go, you're already in. And they literally have the gates for letting you in. And by your face it says, oh, yeah, you bought a ticket. And, oh, yeah, the gate's going to go open. And, oh, put your luggage here. They've already got all this stuff. So let's do this. Everything you're saying is correct. How do we fight it? Very few people understand this. And this is what's scary, and this is what message I want to get out. It is so simple to fight them back. It's insane. The only tool they have is debt. They have enslaved the world in debt. When you don't have any slave, because it says in the Bible, the slave is lender. Borrow is slave to the lender. When you don't have any debt, you have no money you owe to someone. You don't have anything. No one is holding anything over you. If you own your house, if you own your cars, there's power. Now, sure, there's other ways they can get in, but what if literally just 20% of the nation, 30% of the nation decided, no, enough's enough. I'm going to start living within my means. I'm going to pay my house off. Can you imagine what would happen? Can you imagine, like, right now, there are layoffs by the tens of thousands going on each week right now in America. It all started about September. And you're going to see it in insane by the second quarter of 2023. But what happens if those layoffs didn't matter? He's like, you know what? I've got some extra food. I've got my house paid for, my car paid for. All I got to do is I gotta go to McDonald's and work right now and make it just fine. They would have no power. And that's my vision for our country and our world. And that's what I'm trying to get people to do. And it is so simple. But what's really scary is once you pay everything off, the wealth that is generated after that because you have a clear mind and you're not stressed out about where you're going to get your money for your next bill, the wealth creation is explosive. And I honestly believe that if enough people preach this or teach it, we can actually fight back.
So how do you feel about doing like a parallel financial system? Sorry about that, Proof.
That's all right. No, go ahead. You got it.
Parallel systems are easy, are difficult because so many people have tried it and failed. You could live inside the U.S. dollar. And the U.S. dollar would have no power if people weren't in debt. That's the problem. That's what. And the parallel system, there's so many different ones out there and trying to convince people that this is the way to go, this is how to do it. You know, I still am blown away that people think that during the next crash it's going to be a barter system. You know, will bartering go up? Sure. Right now I know of people that have chickens and the guy down the street has a bunch of fruit trees and every once in a while they trade. But it can only last so much. You can't find everything you need through barter. And so that's the one thing that I'm going, well, if we start focusing on the easy, low-hanging fruit, but it's usually the one that nobody wants to be a part of, and that's paying off your debt, right, living with your new means, not trying to impress the guy down the street with what you're driving, but you can't even afford it, and you don't even have respect for the guy down the street anyway. That's the one thing it's hard to deal with because some people go to paper, different new currencies coming out. I've seen them. Or people go to gold, physical gold and silver. The problem is with those, you have to convince someone to take it. And even if you could, there's so few people that would be in that realm of being able to buy that currency, whether it be blockchain or whatnot. It would be hard to get through, I would assume.
I love that you touched on gold and silver and currency because you're spot on. If we're in an economical crash, you're going to have a really hard time finding people that will take gold. And very few people understand the not only was gold and silver used for currency, but for medicinal purposes. And that's one of the reasons why people sought to take on some of those things was not just for currency, but it was for the frequencies and the medicinal values of the metals and the properties.
Yeah, I completely agree. Now, you know what's interesting, too, is a lot of people sit there and they always say, well, in the end days, you'll throw your gold and silver in the street. I'm like, well, that's being taken pretty far out of context. But I said, you know, it's funny. Other people have said, well, no one's going to be able to buy your gold when it's $50,000. And I go, well, tell that to people that are buying rhodium right now. Rhodium was $300 in, what, 2001. It's now, what, $14,000 an ounce. As a matter of fact, it topped out, I think, around $28,000 or $31,000 during COVID. I said, the fact of the matter is they're always going to buy rhodium. Why? Because you can't get a catalytic converter to do what it does without it. And the facts are you'll buy silver at $1,000 someday. Why? Because you just can't make a certain water filter, a solar panel, or a special type of electronics like a cell phone without it. And people don't understand that. And then they go, well, you know, and they think in their own mind, well, nobody would buy it. No, you wouldn't buy it. Neither would your friend. I said that about Bitcoin when it was $500, and I said, oh, it's going to $10,000. I said, no one will buy it. I said, plenty of people will buy it. But you need to know where to sell it. You know, banks, literally J.P. Morgan put gold and silver assays in certain branches a while back when they expected the price to explode. And people don't know that. You could actually go into a certain J.P. Morgan and actually deposit gold into the bank, and they'll put that dollar amount, they negotiate it, of course, but into your bank account. So we just saw that with the hyperinflation in Venezuela. I'm sorry, yeah, Venezuela was the last one, where people were taking solid gold ounces, going down and buying homes with it, but they weren't going to the person that owned it. They said, how much do you want for this house in our local currency? They say this much. They say, copy, let's go down to the escrow office or the attorney's office. And in the process of that contract being completed, they take that gold, they go to an exchange, and they trade it for that much currency and buy the house. And it just blows my mind that people don't understand how that works. They just like, well, I can't just go buy a car with a gold coin. Well, of course not. But it's like taking a dollar bill and instead of putting it in the cashier's hand and they give you a gallon of gas, taking that dollar bill and shoving it down, you know, the pipe with a ramrod. The car doesn't take dollars. It takes gas. You just need to figure out how am I going to get the gasoline.
I love your brain and how it works. I would love to spend more time with you talking about all
that. That's a lot of coffee. It's just copious amounts of coffee.
So I know we only have a few minutes left here, and we'd love to have you back again. I've enjoyed the half hours that we've had with you. But I wanted to ask a little bit about crypto, and I want to ask about the PayPal. I don't know if you know the regulations or not on this $2,500 that PayPal thinks they can get from you for fake news. And how would they search you?
Oh, man. So that goes right back to the technology that's out right now. My channel grew exceptionally fast. And, you know, we average about 150,000, 200,000 views a day. And it was very fast. Like, I think I've been doing just over 2 years. And it has blown me away, the censorship and the things I've been a part of and watching stuff. And it's quite frankly extremely scary. PayPal can reach in because of a report. You know, they can buy tips. They have AI that reads every word that's coming out of my mouth when I do a YouTube video. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you this. You know, it's a real bummer. But we were, you know, being questioned by an FBI agent the other day about what our channel's about, and they wanted to make sure that we weren't putting out anything that's anti-government. And I went, man, what are we talking to brown shirts now? Like, what is going on here? Like, even if I did, which I'm not, I'm like, what would be the problem? But, you know, what's right is wrong, what's wrong is right these days. And people need to realize and wake up to the sign of the times where we are living in right now. These are end times. It doesn't mean everything's ending tomorrow. I'm telling you what, things are going to get dark. They're going to get darker. However, I believe that light pierces through darkness. And
that's
I believe
true.
That there are movements that happen all the time. And I believe that if you hear truth, and right now, if you're getting the chills, that is not my words. That's truth. That's a frequency of truth penetrating your flesh and hitting your spirit. And I believe that if everybody started to really wake up and just speak truth out of their mouth, because it's so foreign, because it's so rare, that what you will do is you will open people's ears, open people's eyes, you will change their lives forever. But here's the catch. It's not going to be your family. It's not going to be your friends. Those are
correct.
The two groups of people you should stop warning. You should start warning the world. Get a bigger vision than helping your family, helping your friends. Go help the world. And I guarantee you, if we could get cities were conquered by just a few people. They weren't conquered by masses. You need people
right.
with clear minds and clear hearts to be able to put together a plan, a perfect plan. And I'm telling you, we don't need many people to take this world back for good.
All right. I got two questions left here if we have time. Sorry,
sure.
Heather. I know he said he had to leave at 7, so I was going to just take these last two real quick here. One, I wanted to ask about the $600 PayPal, because I know that's been backed up a year, and I just wanted to get an overview on that from you.
Yeah, so that's pretty scary stuff. This, again, every time the IRS comes out with a new rule or the government gets some really cool, you know, nifty named, you know, act like the Build Back Better plan, that means put you in prison faster plan, they start coming out with these interesting little things, and this one, in a nutshell, is there's two ways of taking money essentially on any of these payment apps, not only PayPal, Venmo, Airbnb, eBay, all of them. And that is through a friends or family link. You
right.
actually say, hey, I'm giving my dad $20, or it's for goods or services. And the goods or services tab can be initiated either by the buyer clicking it, because they are prompted, what's this for? And you're buying something from someone. Let's say you're at a garage sale and you're buying something for $100, and it's for goods and services. Or the seller can initiate that by sending an invoice. Here's the problem. Regardless if it's a business account or not, people are very confused about this. If the person selling things and receiving money on any of these payment apps sells more than $600 worth of goods in a calendar year under the Goods and Services tab, they are going to receive a 1099, and so is the IRS from PayPal, Venmo, any of that stuff. They're all being forced to do it. So the problem is now if you don't go and put on your – let's say you have sold $600 of stuff at a garage sale, and you don't go put that on your tax return and claim it as income, or say, I got this, but this was just stuff I resold, and you're going to need to come up with a cost basis for it, they could do something. Will they? Probably not. Could they? Yes. Is this similar to what happened with the IRS targeting certain political groups around 2016? Yes. They could pick and choose. So I'm trying to warn people, but at the same time, I want to give a word of hope, right? A lot of people are like scared about this, and they're freaking out, and they're going to cash. I'm like, well, you're good luck. It's about to be gone. I said, you know, you may have a business here to where you could legally write off in certain parts of your life. And a lot of people, and that's where opening your brain into something larger, where I see a problem, successful people only see solutions. And those solutions aren't to just get you out of that problem. That solution is something that is going to change your life forever, whether it be a business that succeeds or a problem that you never face again, which means it frees up your mind and time for other avenues and ventures in life. So what I'm telling people is to be aware of this, and they did push it off because it's a nightmare with documentation. And quite frankly, I think going into this next two-year cycle of the elections, they didn't want a ton of heat because they need a lot of time to get other things politically taken care of. But this is something to be very seriously aware of.
All right. So my last question here, and I know you're busy and you have to go, so I don't want to keep you too long here. But
yeah.
I wanted to ask you about crypto, and I know that we all have to declare the crypto on the taxes. That's not my issue, but I was going to ask you, so you would consider yourself more of a, you know most of the cryptos, so I'm assuming I can
yeah.
I can ask you about Quant, which is one of the test currencies, if you will, that Skank of America and Shitty Bank and all those other banks are doing their 12-week test on. Is Quant worth looking at because of that, or does that even matter?
No.
So I have not followed the Quant Project very closely. I've been in XRP since, I don't know, 2016. It was like 2 cents. I tried to buy it for half a penny one day, and literally by the next day my money gets into the account. I bought it at 2 cents, like missed 400% or whatever return on that. So I've been following the XRP, the Ripple story and all that stuff, what they're going to do. Yeah. I know there's a lot of offshoots that are going to be dealing with the digital dollar. I stick with right now just the XRP blockchain. I have other cryptocurrencies, but I've also not spoken of cryptos. And because 6 months ago I said, guys, it's about to tank and it's going to get way worse than it is now. So I'm not going to lead anybody down that road. If I'm not buying anymore, why would I talk about it? Because I'm not trying to make money off of you. There's a lot of YouTubers that have been making literally millions of dollars a month off of selling right. people out, you know, to get on these exchanges. I've talked over and over about the dangers of yield farming and what all these exchanges have been doing. As a matter of fact, I noticed that Gemini just today, I think, stopped their earn program because they are a liquidity nightmare, and it's all unraveling right now. So I'm looking to buy. I didn't sell any of my crypto because that's all locked up and sitting for years now on cold storage, but I'm going to be buying more between $3,000 and $10,000 Bitcoin because I know that next cycle is going to take us well over six figures.
Yeah, I figure, and I've heard people say that it's going to get bad, then just like the last time it got bad, and then all of a sudden the bad part was over, and it's just a cycle. And to be honest with you, and we could do another show on this later, I bought crypto last year. But after the crash, I've just held. I haven't bought or sold, and I've been involved my whole life in the baseball card market. So I've developed a strategy where I could buy stuff. I could buy a $10 card for 15 cents and sell it for $5. And if you could do that enough, you got some side hustle money.
That was my first ever legitimate business when I was a sophomore. I had a baseball card shop downtown.
I know exactly what you're referring to. Myself, so. All you have to know is when to buy and when to sell. It doesn't matter what the product is, as long as you know your product. And if, hey, I'll take 3,000% markup any day of the week. I don't care what product it is.
And you know what's sad, and I teach that in my side hustle course, the profit is made the day you make the deal and the money's exchanged hands. It's not the day you sell, because a savvy person knows that in any market, I was selling tractors during the Great Recession. I was buying it from contractors that were sitting down playing video games because they didn't have any work, and they were selling their heavy equipment to me because they needed to make ends meet. And I'm going, I'd even ask them, you're selling a piece of equipment. Why would you do that? And they go, well, it's going to pick up, and I'll buy another one down the road. And so I would take that tractor, get it for such an amazing deal. I would sell it to another contractor that had money in his pocket, and I gave him a smoking deal, and I was still doubling my money. And so the point being is you can buy and sell things at any given point. The question is, are you buying it at the right price so that you could sell it, giving someone else a smoking deal? And that's – bring this full around to back of the cars. That's why the car dealers are about to implode, because the car dealers are like grubby little greedy people that are just – I mean, if you bought a new car in the last 10 years, you know it, going to the back rooms like with that sales manager. They're trying to sell you every whiz-bang gadget, and it got so bad, they go, well, it has 3M paint coating. Well, I don't want it. It doesn't matter. We already have it on there. So you're going to get charged. Oh, it has this, a door ding protection. I don't want that. Well, it doesn't matter because they all have it. They're crooks. And the cool thing is pride comes before a fall, and their grubby little hands are sitting on those little, you know, notes that they, you know, bought, and they're going, there's no way I'm going to let it go. And they're starting to lose. Month after month, they're losing. And it's, can I be honest with you, I just grin. And if there's anybody listening to this that's a car salesman and you're not like that, good news. Your next life experience should be owning an awesome car dealership and buying all those cars for pennies on the dollar from your boss that took advantage of you.
I definitely understand. I'd like to have you back again, so maybe I'll bother you and see how February's looking. So
let's
you want to just take a second and plug your YouTube and anywhere else people can find out information about you.
Yeah, my name's The Economic Ninja. I have amazing hair. I drink coffee all the time, but I can't pronounce words because I barely made it through high school. Good news is my bank account did not care. I tried really hard. I did things that everyone said I couldn't, and I believe in myself. I lost my greatest cheerleader. It was my mom when she passed away, so I decided rather than feeling sorry, I'm going to become the greatest cheerleader for the human beings that are ready to go and crush it and no longer be debt slaves. That's me in a nutshell.
All right, so his channel on YouTube is Economic Ninja. Please check him out. He posts videos quite often. I you've had, what, 6-7 videos already this week, so, and more on the way. So
yeah.
Thank you for helping everybody out, and yeah, either myself or maybe I'll have Heather reach out to you and see what February's looking like for you.
That'd be awesome. Thank you to the both of you. I really appreciate it. Have a great night.
Thank you so much.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. So Economic Ninja is out. We are going to take a commercial break. We'll get into some news. We have other callers we can take as well here. So stay tuned. We're going to take a timeout. Heather, you got like 4 minutes. So do whatever you want with them.
Sounds great.
We'll be right
I'll
back.
Throw my feet up, drink some more tea.
All right.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news, and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State, and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually. But for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps. That is, you not exist. So he wants to work for the IRS. Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something luck heirs who will let us get away with it.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
At the halfway point of the show tonight. Heather Liberty is our new Tuesday night co-host. Are you with us again?
I sure am. I'm on.
Good. I haven't rang you off the road yet, so thank you for that. I've had people say, when's the next commercial break? And then they take off and I never hear from them again. So thank you.
I'm hard to hear.
Okay. So we're going to get into a bunch of stuff. I have a trucker that calls in, and because he's an over-the-road trucker, I don't know what kind of time frame he's on. So I am going to bring him in at some point. You and I will go back and forth on some news. We also, at some point in the show, as with tradition, we do play the latest Broccoli Man episode on the show, so we'll watch it together at some point. I don't know if you viewed it yet, but this one is, this is new.
I love it. Can't wait.
All right. So, Vito, out there all over the
up,
U.S.
Bro?
So, what's the word on the street, Vito?
How are you? It's all quiet. It's all good. You know, business is booming. A lot of trucks out here. You know.
Yeah. Well, what location are you at now?
Right now, I am on I-95. Actually, I'm on 85. So I might be passing Colby. I'm on 85 South in Virginia, heading towards North Carolina.
So, Heather, I am very partial to Culver's, the fast food place.
Yeah, their burgers are good, man. I have to.
I love their cheese curds.
Yeah, I haven't had them yet, but I have. The next time I go there, I will make sure I have them.
Yeah, I'm partial to their fish and chips, their pot roast, and their cheese curds.
They make pot roast too?
Yeah, they have pot roast on the menu.
Wow. I'm going to tell you what I do. When I go to Walmart, and they sell pre-packaged in the meat section a pork roast with seasoning and vegetables, tenderized and everything. I have a slow cooker on the truck. Oh, 2-quart, that's all it is. And yeah, they tell you to add water to the seasoning. But what I do is, instead of adding water, I'll add either mushroom. They make a mushroom stock, or the last time I made it with a, like, it's not cream of mushroom, but it was a thick mushroom Campbell soup. I put that in there. I put just a little bit of water. Oh man, that thing was so good after when I started eating it. The meat was so tender, and it only cost like $15. It's like nothing, and I get at least two meals out of it.
So it's Heather, he's a trucker, and in the back of his truck, he has all these kitchen gadgets he can use while he's driving.
Yeah, that's
no microwave. Because
I cut the cook.
I'm sorry?
That's pretty exciting, and it sounds like you're my kind of cook.
Well, I'm enjoying this. I mean, you know, I cook hot dogs. You know, I'll buy every once in a while a steak. I bought a little grill to cook outside. I'm going to freak out guys when they see me barbecuing outside my truck at a truck stop. That's gonna knock some of them.
Yeah, you'll be tailgating waiting for a Walmart receiver to come out and do an inventory.
Oof. And the sad thing is I can't have any alcohol while I'm driving, while I'm in the truck. None. That's the crazy thing about it. What are you gonna do? It's life. But I caught the end of the conversation with that caller you had. He is so spot on right. When you don't owe money on your house, or when you don't owe money on physical property, it is so empowering. Because you could sell that house and you'll have all that money. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, that's how I look at it. But the one thing that I wish I was able to ask him is, even though you don't own the house, you're still paying taxes on the property that house is sitting on. That's the one thing.
Yeah,
unless you can get
a land patent somehow.
Yeah, some places they make it hard for you though.
Yeah, if you own a house out in the middle of nowhere, a land patent isn't that hard. But if you're in a busy zip code where there's houses all around you, it's going to be a lot more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, John Bon Jovi, he lives in Colts Neck, New Jersey, right near me. And he pays very little, from what I was told, he pays very little in property tax, because he was able to say that he uses his land as a farm.
Okay.
And in New Jersey, they allow that.
Use it as a farm. He uses that to put the food in his restaurant. So, have you been to his restaurant?
Okay. No, I didn't even know he had a restaurant.
Yeah, it's one of those where he has a pay whatever you think it's worth restaurant.
Ah, okay. All right. And
I don't remember the name of it, but you could look it up. It's a legitimate restaurant.
I'll Google it.
Okay. Yeah, if you go there, let me know. I was never a huge Bon Jovi fan, but I could respect that, where if you think a burger was worth $2, you pay $10. If you think it was worth $20, whatever.
You know, I mean, I mean, you pay for the burger, but I would also rather tip for the service also. That's important also to me. How you treat the customer is even bigger. I mean, last night I was in Middletown, Delaware last night. I had to do a 34-hour reset there, and I went to watch the football game, and there was I found the cigar place. It was about a mile and a half away, and you know what? I walked it. I figured I could use the exercise. It doesn't hurt. So I went there, poured a cigar. I passed the Waffle House there on the way there. And then on the way back, I said, you know what? That Waffle House should be open. I went into the Waffle House. And I tell you, the waitress in there, man, she basically served me hand and foot. I mean, my meal was $14. I gave her a $5 tip. You know, I figured, why not? She earned it.
Yeah, I guess I'm one of very few people that just maybe it was because Heather, have you been to a Waffle House before?
It has been a very long time. When I lived down in Arizona worked in the north part of Phoenix, they had a Waffle House, and they have the best hash browns out of anywhere I've ever. They have the best hash browns I've ever had.
Well, you know what? You know what? I'm gonna say yeah to that, but. This morning I had breakfast at a truck stop breakfast area, and it was called Royal Farm, and they prepare food there, and I ordered a hash brown. It's like a McDonald's hash brown, the frozen one, but this one they air fry it, and it's a golden potato that they use. It tastes so much better. Yeah, it tasted so good, and it was a golden potato, and it tasted even better. than the usual white hash browns that they burn, you know, that they char a little bit. It was that good of a hash brown.
So Heather, would you prefer JB's over Waffle House?
Oh, that's tough. JB's had some really good blueberry pancakes back in the day, right?
Well, the best blueberry pancakes I've had are at IHOP. You know, I've had blueberry pancakes at IHOP, and they're good. At Waffle House, they only give you one. They give you a thin waffle. It's not like you go to New York City, because I'm from New York City. You go to a diner in New York City, you get a waffle. It's like thick. It's like at least an inch thick. And I mean, it's good. I mean, it's delicious. But you know, you got Waffle House. Waffle House has its mystique, and you know, I like their grits. I enjoy eating their grits with egg and cheese and sausage. Oh, like I said, I'm a food connoisseur. You know, and if I find something that's good, I will stick with it as long as I can.
So
I'm the same.
I love telling this story here, Heather, and Vito might have heard it. I got kicked out of a Waffle House once.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was on the road in Atlanta with a couple of my fellow comedians. We were playing a show in Atlanta. And so we went to the Waffle House because I've never been to one before. And I tried ordering pancakes. And so when I asked where the pancakes are, the waitress brought one of the cooks over, and the cook yelled at me and basically told me, what the fuck is wrong with you? We don't sell pancakes. Not only do you not sell pancakes, we're not serving you nothing. You can go outside and wait for your friends.
That's funny. Hey, listen, I had an experience like that once.
Dick Flasper's order something.
It's the same damn batter. Just throw it on the griddle.
Exactly. It's the same stuff. It's
I'm
the
just
same
kidding.
Freaking
really
stuff. I wouldn't know the difference if you made pancakes. I mean, listen, I'm going to say this. In New York City, when you buy a waffle in a diner, the waffle, the batter that they use for the waffles is the same batter they use for the pancakes. So,
yeah, most of
that
time
I know
it is.
For a fact, because I mean, Waffle House, their waffles, all right, they're thin, but they're moist. They're good. They really are, you know, they are delicious, I have to say. Especially their blueberry waffles are fantastic.
You know what's funny, though, is I'm just not a waffle guy. I like pancakes.
Yeah, well, I said, I was so hungry because I was in Richmond, Virginia the night before, and all the Waffle Houses out there, they're open, but they were doing window service. I said, I don't want window service. I want to sit down and eat. He said, we're only doing window service between midnight and 6 a.m. I'm like, all right, so I had parked the truck. I was all excited, and I got back in the truck, and I went back to the terminal. And I just waited there to finish out my hours. But when I saw that Waffle House, and I was like, on the way back, there was a guy standing outside smoking a cigarette. I says, "You guys open?" I says, "Yeah, we're open." I says, "Oh, let's go, man." You know, and I said, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that. It was a late breakfast. I wasn't going to look at it. But once I was when I was a cop. I was with my, I was driving my partner home, and we stopped in White Castle's. So I was hungry. I said, "We gotta get White Castle." So I'm driving, and I give the order, and my partner next to me goes, "I want a Big Mac." And the lady goes, "You know, serve Big Macs here." All right. So, sir, is that anything else? "Yeah, I want a Big Mac." So I'm looking at her. I said, "Would you shut the fuck up?" I said to him, I mouthed. I didn't say it out loud. You can see. I said, "They're going to spit in my fucking food, Vinny. Come on." And he's laughing. I'm like, you know what? I put the car in drive and I drove off. I said, I can't even get White Castle hamburgers.
Well, it's better than getting a circumcised meal at McDonald's.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there's certain restaurants that I could muddle through and I might eat once or twice a year, but McGMO, GMO Bell, GMO King, Kentucky Fried GMO, I will never in my lifetime be in any of those establishments.
Proof, you know what scares me now even more so with all this vaccine stuff going on, and it's going on. It just worries me that they're going to be putting this stuff in the food, and Bill Gates is buying up property left and right.
Well, let me just mention, too, that my wife really likes lamb, and I like to eat lamb myself. But you have to make sure right now that if you buy lamb, that it does not come from New Zealand, because they give the COVID shot to all the lambs in New Zealand before
Are
they're sold
kidding
and harvested.
Me? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Holy
that makes me
want to
throw
cow.
Up. That's horrifying.
I'm telling you right
yeah.
now, they're going to be putting that stuff in food, and then it's
oh,
all
did
over.
You hear about, did you hear about them vaccinating bees?
I heard that they were talking about it.
So this week I read an article about the first vaccinated bee. And the bees already
oh,
are,
the bees.
You know,
yes, I saw that.
With the sprays.
Yes.
It's so volatile. I get honey, and I make mead. I was telling you about that. So I get this honey and this Dakota clover honey, and there's something happening with the health of the bees. We're not going to be able to access this Dakota clover honey from these bees in the Dakota. And I'm just worried about this science, and they're playing God. It's very destructive.
So maybe, you know what? They've been having bee issues for quite a while now. I wonder if they've been using this vaccine on the bees for and use it on them first.
I'd like to see all of them use it first.
We have to be our own beekeepers, I guess, because then you'll know if they've got their gene therapies.
Yeah. It's just crazy, man. It's really bizarre.
Yeah,
something else came up in the news yesterday that did you see that the Brandon administration is considering banning not just gas stoves, but gas heating and gas lines inside houses?
Which
so
is
you'll only be allowed
absurd.
To have electric.
And
are they aware? So they're saying that it's for health reasons.
Yeah.
And if we look at health reasons, you can get low-grade EMF radiation poisoning from the electronics in your home. And we've had gas was used, what, like an early, in early, what, 600 BC is when they started using gas, and they just started putting electricity in our homes in the late 1885. They had the first electric building. So as far as the science is concerned, I think that their science is misscrewed, and there needs to be a little bit more testing because we've been using gas a lot longer than electricity.
Yep. Yes, that's true. And gas, natural gas is not, you know, it doesn't pollute, from what I understand. You know, but they're saying that there's fumes that come out of the stoves themselves that are dangerous to people. I'm like, I've been around a stove my whole life. I don't understand what the hell they're talking about. And you know, I have a house in PA. You know, I have a house in PA, and it's electric, and I hate cooking with electric.
I do, too. I love gas. It cooks more
yeah,
efficiently.
Gas heat.
It sears meat perfectly. And, you know, just, you know, it's a preference, like meat eaters and vegans. You know, I grew up hunting and find that to be a humane way to harvest your meat. And vegetables have souls as well. And I think it's good to have a balance between meat and vegetables. And
absolutely, you know, I love having sun-dried tomatoes with a nice 40-ounce steak. Perfect. It's just so delicious. Oh.
Perfect combination.
Oh, hell yeah. Are you kidding me? You know, I mean, I'm always constantly on the net looking at recipes and stuff, you know, people cooking, what they're making. And, you know, I made for Christmas, I made a, for the first time, I never made a meatloaf. And it was, let me tell you, it was, I don't know how, I've never made it. It's like making a giant meatball. I use pork veal and beef.
Ooh,
and I mixed it all together. I took out my KitchenAid mixer. I threw it in. I let it mix it all up nice and good. I threw the whatever vegetables needed to be thrown in there, you know, and whatnot. And but the best part of it, Proof, you had to wrap it in bacon. So before you put the beef, the meat in the form, you line the whole form with bacon. Then you fill, you put the meat in, then you cover the meat with the bacon on the end, and then you take it, you flip it, and you take it out of the form and you put it in the oven. Man, and that's the first time I ever used a meat thermometer while I was cooking, and it came out so good. So good. I think I could use a little more Worcestershire sauce, and that's for the next time.
So I guess now is how I tell you how the Proof Negative House makes meatloaf.
Go ahead.
So while you're messing with pork and veal, I probably make the most expensive meatloaf you're going to see. I like
your
buffalo, ribeye? Lamb, and beef. Well, now it'll just be buffalo and beef, but that's what I use.
So now the only other place that really that's got to be delicious, because lamb has a very, very distinct taste to it. So that would add something really interesting. You know what? I might try that next time. Well, as long as I can find a halal place that has lamb, because I'm sure that their lamb isn't coming from
right.
From New Zealand. Wow, man.
Or
if you order from
a place like Wild Fork Foods, which is where I order sometimes from, their lamb is U.S. So right now, U.S. lamb is still okay.
Right. Right. Wow. But
so, Vito,
today
is Heather's first time joining us.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you.
So,
pleasure to be here.
Not baptism by fire, but it's a good learning process.
Oh,
yeah, at least
she
had a guest in the first hour.
Yeah, he was a fantastic guest. I love his brain, and I think he should come on regularly to teach some classes. I think that would be hugely beneficial.
Absolutely. Like I said, the little piece that I heard of him was very good. But just to get to politics, did you know, because I got this on a news feed, did you know that while this speaker stuff was going on, that pig AOC, she offered to create a provisional government? I'm like, how could you even think that? We're in America, man. We're not a third world nation. She said that we were gonna. She wanted to create a provisional government where she would have gotten Democrats, I don't know how many Democrats voted for McCarthy, but she was gonna get Democrats to vote for McCarthy. And I'm like, if that happened, that guy's compromised now, big time. He'll do whatever
you know,
they
she
say.
She auditioned for her position.
She what?
AOC auditioned for her position.
What do you mean she auditioned?
That's exactly what it sounds like. She auditioned for her role in politics. Are you aware of that?
No.
So her successful audition nomination cast her into primary battle against Representative Joel Crowley. And she showed up, and they had a number of people auditioning that day, and she was selected, not elected, along with other representatives across the nation.
It's all a farce, as far as I'm concerned. I even think that this stuff with the speaker was also a farce, I think. Because, look, no one, not a single person, has yet to go to jail for what was done after Trump became president. You have Strzok. That man should have been convicted and thrown in jail by now for what he did. He falsely swore out a warrant. That there is no way around it. And that man was allowed to walk scot-free. All right?
Well, we're seeing weaponizing of the DOJ and FBI, and that's not surprising.
And they're going after, you know, they are going after Trump. I mean, it's quite obvious. I mean, I don't say it. And they are doing everything they can, short of assassinating him, to keep him from getting reelected. That I will say.
There wasn't an attempt to. So there was an attempt, a security incident, a while back. What year was that? It was when he first was elected. It was in 2016. Yeah. So, quite interesting. I had the opportunity to meet Roger Stone and talk to him personally about the FBI raid. That was quite interesting.
I mean, you know, in all seriousness, they just found these documents. They had these documents that they found in Biden's home or wherever it was that he really should not have had. All right? You know, that's the other thing they're not talking about, because the vice president is not privy to this stuff. Only from what I was told, only the president is the one that's privy to these secret classified documents. So how did he get a hold of these documents?
That's a good question. I think there's a lot of questions that we have that need to be answered.
You know, why didn't they show up at his house with guns and like 50 FBI agents? You know, I mean, you know, Trump did the right thing. Trump was told, yeah, put it, you know, make sure you keep it under lock and key, you know, no one can get access to the paperwork. You know, and that's coming out that the January 6th people are the ones that got Garland to do the warrant.
I'll tell
that's
you right now on
now.
Record, on the air, that there are more of us that have witnessed with our own eyes Antifa, Black Vanguard, Insurgents USA were Antifa-style groups that were encouraging people to go to D.C. dressed as Trump supporters. And
yes, absolutely. Look, I know, I'm telling you right now, most of them starting the trouble, if not all of them, were not Trump supporters. All right.
Well, one of them is from Utah. John Sullivan. Look him up. He roams free.
Okay.
He was standing next to Ashley Babbitt.
Okay.
She was paid a lot of money for his video footage.
Well, and there's also Ray Epps, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's admitting to, like, starting stuff. You know, and they still haven't found the person that put those, I don't know if those were fake bombs or whatever, you know, around the cap, around D.C., right before the, you know, the January 6th stuff. And they know, listen, they can find out who it is. That person was on a cell phone, was using a cell phone. They know who it is. They know who it is. Come on. You got something you can't track a cell phone now in this day and age?
Well, they wouldn't be able to track my cell phone.
Because you don't have one.
Right.
Smart.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Interesting times we live in, gentlemen.
Yeah, it's great. Like, listen, like Alex Jones would say, these are great times. You know, this is what's going to make mice and men, and we're going to see. And you know, like I always, listen, I have a friend of mine, he's Jewish. His parents survived Auschwitz, and his mother told him exactly everything that happened in Germany that led up to things going completely crazy. And he says, you know, I remember what my mother said, and I'm watching it happen in front of me right now. I'm watching it.
Step by step, it's like a right out of their playbook.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they just, you know, they reincarnate, you know, they change a few words around, but it's still the same thing. You know what I mean? It's still a, you know, they change the deck chairs around, but it's still a Titanic. It's going to sink. And these nationalists, you know, these fascists is what they are, these communists, you know, they only understand one thing, and they only understand violence. And that's it. I mean, you know, I have found a video, I think V had put it up, of from, I guess, the 1940s and 1950s. It was, I forget the guy's name, it was a black dude. And he was being trained as a communist, thinking that, you know, communism was going to help people, but in reality it wasn't. And he saw that they were going to use it to subvert the black population, and they were going to create black martyrs a la George Floyd today to rile up the, you know, the people. And this is what he said then. We saw it in 2020. You know, he exposed the communists for the frauds that they are. That they're not really here for the people. They're here for power. They want control.
And Michael Jackson was working on exposing them as well, and he wrote a song about it. They don't really care about us. They're being used as puppets. Candace Owens, you know, she's a phenomenal black woman.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
One that I absolutely look up to. And I hope that her voice will resonate in many young hearts and will help to set them free.
Well, the problem is you got a lot of kids in school today that are just, you know, completely brainwashed. You know, reality is inverted. And they do not believe. The truth is staring them right in the face. And they will not accept it. They will call you racist. They will call you Nazi. You know, it's right there, right in front of you.
It sure is. And one of the problems I see, and the reason why we're seeing a lot of children in this vulnerable position, is the economical state. A lot of parents are having to work one or two jobs. Both parents are out of the home, and we're having these educational institutions basically raise our children. And I think we need to, like, like the economic ninja said, get out of debt, live within your means. You don't have to show off. You don't have to wear the latest and greatest styles. Learn a few trades. Learn a few crafts to help you become independent so that mm-hmm. we can start raising our children and being with them and spending time and teaching them some of the old ways. There's nothing wrong with that. And, I teach my kids wild edibles, and, I have had them whine and complain and cry and cause drama on the trails while I'm teaching classes. But at least they're there, and eventually they get excited about it. So I think it's hard sometimes to push our children, but really that's what's needed in order for them to become successful, because the world will push them in their own way. We have to push them in our way to help them to become independent and successful.
You're 100% right, because I mean, because I'm Italian, and in Italy, especially in southern Italy, everyone everyone owned a plot of land where they would grow their own fruits and vegetables, or chickens, lay eggs, but they would take that food and they would sell it. And then once the European Union came in, it killed everything. They made it illegal to buy eggs in Italy, let's say, because they decided that all the eggs in Europe are going to come from one region, and they're not going to come from Italy, rather than go out and throw fishing nets out in the water. No, we're going to have fish farms now. It's a more humane. Yeah, and absolutely, and what they did was they would buy the boats. They would pay, and they paid good money for the boats too. My uncle had a nice fishing boat, and he could not turn down the money. It was too good.
We need people to hold on to their businesses. We need people to hold on to their land, and not be tempted to take the big dollar, because eventually, we will see lack of ownership. And it's an absolute crime. And in our local communities, we are having people made to register their chickens. People don't have to register their dogs and their cats, which run all around the neighborhood. But they're forcing people to register their chickens. And people need to stand up and fight and realize that that's a local level. Go straight into your commissioners. Buy the horde. Take all your neighbors. Raise a ruckus and tell these commissioners that they will not do this in your area. And you can change zoning. People need to stand up. And what we're seeing right now is a total tyrannical takeover. But that's because people are lacking in interest and knowledge of how the system works. We have a system that can work for us, and it could be working for us today if people would show up at their commission meetings. And they would show up at the state capitol, and they would start reading bills. And people don't realize that you can actually go to your commissioners, you can go to the state capitol, you can show up at the hearings, and you could testify in a live hearing and tell them that you do not like this verbiage, that you want it to be changed, and it can be voted, and it can be changed by the voice of the people. And this Brunson case the Supreme Court case, I don't know if you're aware of that, but it was knocked out of the Supreme Court, and people are discouraged. But what this is showing the people is that there's a system that's in place that is to be used by the people. And if we don't use it, just like our muscle, just like our brain, just like, if we don't, sharpen that saw, it'll never work for us. We have to step forward, and we have to learn something and be uncomfortable. It doesn't matter how, we're going to be uncomfortable. There's so many things I've been so uncomfortable with and learning, and I'm like, I'm so confused. I don't even know what I'm doing. But it reminds me of my grandfather. He was one of the largest syndicators in the state of Arizona in real estate development. And he says, Heather, I didn't even know half the terms that they were using, but I just did it. And he became a multimillionaire. And it just took hard work, and some ethics and integrity. And well, any takes, of us can keep leaving.
It takes guts too to do it. Also, I mean, you gotta. Luck is not involved in it. This is pure. You gotta roll up your sleeves and get down on your knees and work hard. That's the only way it's gonna happen.
Damn straight.
You know, we have I was reading the New York Post today, and they have Generation X now. They're relying on good luck to help them get along. What happens if you don't have good luck? You know, maybe they should pray to God or pray to Jesus or somebody, you know, something like that, and maybe that'll happen. Because if you're hoping for good luck and it doesn't happen and that's your last hope, then what? You need to kill yourself? Come on.
Well, not everyone's going to get along, and that's one thing that we need to recognize here in this country with this division. We're made to believe that our neighbors are the enemy because they have different ideologies. Well, that's not the case. It's the people pulling the puppet strings, putting us against each other.
Yeah, but the thing is, with neighbors don't. Sometimes you'll have a neighbor who only thinks for themselves, and they could care less. They'll go against the rest of the neighborhood, so to speak. You know, just for their own agenda, and they know how to game the system. Who to call? You know what I mean? That's a big issue.
It is a big issue. Yeah, when you think outside yourself and you have attributes that are like kindness and you've got integrity and those types of things, you know, you're developing those attributes there, but not only benefit others, but it benefits yourself because you're developing relationships, right?
Yeah,
and
I mean, even
growing.
Even here in New York City, they're going to have a nursing strike. All right, and they're talking about nurses actually just walking out of hospitals, leaving patients alone. You know, and I, that's how the media is playing it. And my daughter, she's an RN, she's an ICU nurse, and I said to her, I said, remember this. You leave your patient alone, that's someone's mother or father, or could even be a kid. You're going to take care of it. Money's money. I understand you guys want to get paid, but don't ignore the people who are sick. Take care of them. Your union, I said, your union is the one that's screwing you, because if they didn't do the right thing, this would not have happened right now. Because in New York City, they're having a very bad issue. They're having a big problem getting nurses because they fired so many who weren't vaccinated. They weren't getting the vaccine. So now you got a lot of nurses working obscene overtime, you know, and they want to get paid. They want to get paid more money. And they're throwing, one hospital group settled a 20% increase over 3 years. Plus, their health care is paid for in full.
Well, these medical facilities make plenty of money, and they're also
Absolutely.
Thrown tax dollars. They were thrown our money to gain aid through all of this. So the fact
uh-huh.
that they're in this predicament, they asked for it,
I hope
that it woke enough people up to go to the Instacares and doctors less and less. Find alternate medicine or, you know, maybe form a parallel healthcare group that's out of the Obamacare system. Because when they monopolized our health system and socialized our healthcare, we're turning into Canada where it's not affordable and it's
getting this lower grade health care. It's trash. And
it's going to be rationed.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we need to develop independence. Point blank. We are too dependent on the lab coats and the bankers and the politicians.
Yeah. I mean, they game the public. I mean, like I said, you know, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but doesn't the Constitution state the terms of the Senate and the House of Representatives? How long it should be?
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Now, just for a second, I'm listening to the news, and then you hear, well, they're going to vote on limiting they're going to vote on limiting the terms, how many terms they can serve. All right, well, that might not be in the Constitution, but the length of the term they can't change. That has to be a con for that. So maybe that's what they were referring to. I maybe I got that a little confused. But they're making it seem like they're going to limit, how our politicians operate. I mean, the Constitution, what they did, and what they did in fighting and resisting McCarthy, I think was good. I think that, they turned around and they said, enough. We have to control our spending. We have to debate, because that's how America was formed, was through debate and arguments. We wouldn't have the Constitution if that wasn't the case. No, but they're making it seem like the chaos is what's destroying America. No, that's not what's destroying America. What's destroying our country is this ideology for socialism and communism that is ruining our society, ruining it completely.
Ruining our republic, yes.
Hey, speaking of communism, I want to initiate Heather with what our tradition is here. And I know one of our traditions is we spend at least one sentence talking about Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady.
There you go.
But
Heather
has not watched
the
Broccoli Man episode yet.
I haven't. Oh, I'm waiting for this Broccoli Man
episode. It's very good.
So, unfortunately, though, this week's episode does not have a man in a broccoli suit, so we're going to have to watch two of them just so she knows who Broccoli Man is. Because this week...
She'll be able to tell just by the dialogue.
Yeah.
All right.
So, this week's... we have one of the kids that go to college at Southern Hampshire Institute and Technology, good old SHIT. So Mike got his 71st COVID booster. And
ooh,
so
does he
Lori's
look like
getting
the Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Yeah. All right, so if you can get ready to watch this and let me know when you are ready to go here, and then we'll play this in live time. Wait, now I have to make sure
okay.
I uploaded this. Hang on. I might not have uploaded this. All right, I got to upload it real quick here. So we can still talk for a quick second while Vito makes a right turn.
No, oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was making a right turn, too. Look at that.
See, I know the difference between a left turn and a right turn.
You can...
you can hear it.
I don't know.
I'll turn right as often as I can.
Safer. Right is always safer.
Absolutely safer.
All right, so I'm uploading it right now, and just a second, it'll be on our switchboard. Thank you. So then I have to show Heather who the wiretap is also. The wiretap is Broccoli Man's arch nemesis.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm just refreshing my screen here so that hopefully it's up now.
It is to get come through. The Broccoli
All right.
Man.
I am ready. So are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. All right, so I'm going to count it down. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Hello, Mr. Mike. Are you ready for your next booster? I see you are no longer at Mail. You are now with Travesty. Good choice, my man.
Thank you. My girlfriend is also trans.
Now this is booster number 71 for you. How is school doing?
Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology is awesome. I'm so glad I get to major in communism studies at SHIT.
It is good to hear. How is your friend Charles Johnson doing? He has not been here in the past couple months.
He was doing great, but then he died suddenly while at the gym.
I see. I know your gender studies teacher, Mrs. Teen Woman, was training for the triathlon. Did he ever end up doing the triathlon?
The triathlon was supposed to be around Christmas. He died the week before. He was doing a morning run and just died suddenly.
I'm sorry to hear about that. You do know that exercise is now linked to white supremacy. White supremacy now often causes heart attacks.
Don't worry, doctor. The only fitness I am doing is fitting these gene therapies in my arm. I am not reading anything on them or watching any news about them. I am just rolling up my sleeve and taking it for the team.
You're a great travesty, my man. By the way, I have not seen your girlfriend's friend Estella in a while. How is she doing?
She died suddenly in her sleep back in October.
I was thinking I have not seen her since October, so the timeline matches up. That must have been a pure coincidence.
I saw a line of EMT paramedics and lots of ambulances lined up today when I walked in. Are you doing a fire drill today?
Oh, that is nothing to worry about, my man. It is just in case you are one of the 4 other patients I have this hour will have a coincidence of my aortic does today. They are most ready to rush you to the Winnipeg General Hospital when you have a heart attack in my presence. Of course, that is a pure coincidence. The chances of that happening is rare. Only like 2/3 of my patients have heart problems or die suddenly after receiving. So it is nothing really to worry about. The most important part is that you cannot sue me for anything at all should you die from getting a gene therapy.
Why would someone want to sue you? You have worked very hard out there to get people their much-needed gene therapies. You're a hero to our communist values.
Thank you for the kind words. I'm just happy I get many thousands of dollars every time the ambulance has to remove you from our premises by pure coincidence.
Sorry, I could not hear you.
Oh, nothing, Mike. I was just saying how happy I am that you care enough about the New World Order that you came here today to get a brand new gene therapy.
Thank you, doctor. All of the heart attacks I ever had was after I left the office. I never once had a heart attack in here before.
Well, maybe we can change that today, son. Now please do be rolling up that sleeve while we play Press Your Luck with this gene therapy. And do remember when you get your heart attack and blood clots, that it is not my fault or Liz Nicker who made these gene therapies. I am personally indemnified from any lawsuits from this most helpful gene therapy. This is the best thing former President Trump did for our practice. He made me filthy rich.
The only thing Trump ever did that I liked was he helped Liza and the other big pharma companies get these gene therapies out in warp speed. I'm so glad he gets the credit for helping so many lives.
I agree, son. He sure has helped me.
I get a commission every single time someone leaves this office in an ambulance. Any overnight stays or any deaths, I get a big payout, son.
You should get a big payout. You risk your life every day to get people into the hospital. True, my man, but I am sure that is all pure coincidence. By the way, do you have a will made up in case something happens?
Doctor, I promise I am very thankful for all of these gene therapies. Even when I have heart attacks, the only thing I can think of is how much worse it would be if I did not get the gene therapy.
I could not agree more, son. I made about $92,000 off your last heart attacks after getting gene therapy. I am quite certain that it was a pure coincidence that you had to get those blood clots corrected.
I can't stand people who are anti-vaxxers or anti-jibbers. Those fools spout misinformation about how unsafe these gene therapies are. I do not trust anyone that has never had a heart attack.
I understand, son. Let me just get the EMTs up in the room and get your ambulance secured. Then we can give you your gene therapy. Then by sheer luck and pure coincidence, you will be spending the night at Weenie Heart General Hospital.
All right, so that was Mike and Dr. Freddy.
That is a world that we have been recently introduced to that has been growing around us without many of our knowing. And one thing that I think is great is how they're, you know, touching base on all of their science experiments and how their science experiments going wrong. And I don't know if you guys are aware, but there's a big community that supports the transhumanism world where new age medicine and electronics and things can enhance human longevity. And it's really big in the Mormon community. You guys heard of it?
No.
So a lot of our politicians and, you know, upcoming politicians, people who are running for office, are having big conferences on transhumanism. And that's, you know, it's like an example of that would be Elon Musk's brain chips enhancing autism. But as Elon Musk admits, that there are technologies that could be meant for good and be turned into bad. And that's what a lot of this stuff is. They are science experiments like the mRNA vaccines, those types of things. They are science experiments. And, of course, science is never really set in stone. I mean, once you come up with a conclusion, I mean, someone can disprove it and find a different way around it. And that's one thing that we need to all, you know, recognize is that, you know, with these vaccines and things like that, that's one way to do herd immunity. But, you know, people have lived with their immune systems through all sorts of disease and famine. And people have lived through that naturally. And I think that fear is a big driver when it comes to manipulation of the masses. It worked in a time where we saw one of the last wars. I know that they like to cut you off of social media platforms and things like that for using certain words and certain names like Schittler. But we've seen something similar, and there's a reason why there's this important part of our law that's written called the Nuremberg Code.
Right.
It prevents people from being manipulated by the masses with medicines and therapies that could be harmful. and we're seeing a lot of people who disregard the written law and are doing what they want to. But I think that that's giving us all a chance to learn pretty quickly the system that's been built and how we can use it to protect ourselves and our families and our communities. And by being active in the legislation process and showing up at our local communities. Our Weber County commissioners, along with our Utah Department of Health, signed a contract for a massive mobile morgue. And I went to the meeting and heard about this mobile morgue in May. So they were just having so they signed the contract in January, and then they just had this commission meeting in May to approve this massive mobile morgue purchase. And I requested our Freedom of Information equivalent is called GRAMA, G-R-A-M-A. So you requested GRAMA records, which is government records that are free for the public to view as they request them. They sent me these bogus contracts, and they actually changed the verbiage. So, you know, if people pay attention to what's happening with their commission meetings and seeing some of the corruption there, and that they're changing the verbiage and not showing the correct contracts and they're not signed and all this hogwash, and we have an opportunity to be able to file grievances and fight back against some of the stuff that's happening. So I'm hoping more people will do it. It's an easy process.
Right.
So it's not easy on the mind, but it's easy to just, you know, get up there and read or show up at the Capitol during that hearing.
All right, so let me, sorry, it took me a few minutes to find the episode that I wanted to share here with you. So,
no worries.
I want to show you Broccoli Man and Wiretap.
All right.
So when you're ready.
Okay, pulling that one up. Okay, so you're saving the planet feet?
Yes.
Oh, the Wiretap. Okay, they're featuring the Wiretap. Okay, got it.
I have to show you at least who Wiretap is before we can move forward. So let me go ahead and I'll count it down when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready when you are.
All right, so 3, 2, 1, action.
Hold it right there, green dude. We need to get you off these mean streets. Brandon announced to the 99% that you need kombuchas and something duckers are under a climate emergency lockdown. Only the 1% are allowed outside, green dude. I am now required to take red list peoples to the FEMA camp that does not exist. Especially if you dumb did support MAGA.
Hey, that's great. Well, nice seeing you again. I am going to patrol these streets like I do every other day. See you later, Wiretap.
Perhaps you did not understand the words coming out of my tentacles, sir. We have a climate emergency. You are hereby required by martial law to keep the kadunk-a-dunk-dunk inside your residence. Now that you are out gallivanting around, and you are part of the 99%, I am going to drop you off at the local FEMA camp that does not exist.
Do you think I care about what you tell me? Just because you work for G-Localist does not mean anything to me. I do not listen to people that are pedos and are into child sex trafficking.
You're biased, niche. You keep stepping in it. Why is it you insist that I have to run my hands through your long flowing mane? You keep talking out your bunghole and you leave me no choice but to take it to the proper authorities.
It is against the law to have military on the streets forcing people to stay in their homes forever. I do not comply with unlawful and unjust orders.
Don't worry, green dude. We got enough votes from HR7900 to remove posse comitatus and allow military running these streets. We have a group of people being paid to specifically watch you. We are going to force you to join our division and help us crush the 99% while we globally dominate. Or we treat you like a something ducker for real and execute you with extreme hatred and rage.
I do not negotiate with clients of Jeffrey Epstein or friends of Hunter Biden.
That's it, green dude. You keep stepping in it. Now not only am I in need of handling your delicious kumquats, I am in need of handling your entire monkey. Why can't you do it, green dude?
Do what?
Why can't you do it? Why can't you set your monkey free? All the kids are into it. Do you love your monkey or do you love me?
Well, considering I hate you more than any other person in the world, I will have to say I love my monkey.
You are a complete buzzkill, sir. You are the biggest something ducker for real I ever had to try and take to the FEMA camp. Even though FEMA camps do not exist, we are hereby enforcing our climate emergency so we can justify killing 7 billion people on this earth, sir. We must kill the 99% of the planet to save the planet, sir. We need to euthanize as many people as possible so Earth's climate does not get too hot or too cold.
Oh. I don't follow fake news. The climate changes all year and every year. It is called weather.
Shut that front door right now. You need to zip it. Zip it good. When a problem comes around, you must zip it. We absolutely cannot have any of the 99% living as if it's 2019. We need everyone, including you, staying locked inside your residence so we can easily have United Nations troops pick you and every other adult up and drag you to the FEMA camps. Then we must have you select a casket from the Leisnacher suicide pods. By the way, green dude, we're demanding you get your money box gene therapies and boosters right this instant. And you need to get the bloody scam on that face. Don't you see on the smell of vision all the gay men getting moneypox? You don't want moneypox. Just like you do not want COVIDs, sir.
Oh, I do not live in fear. That's gonna be a no from me, dog.
Oh, you will live in fear. That's finna be a yes from me, dog. Now I need kumquats right this instant.
Why are you so interested in helping kill 7 billion people? You act like Satan has an expiration date.
Klaus Schwab, George Soros, and Bill Gates are not getting any younger, green dude. They have announced that the plan for Agenda 2030 is going to be implemented right now, sir. We must make sure we execute anyone who does not vote Democrat. Democrats are more compliant to big government. Then we can microchip whomever is left and we can detonate in their microchips whenever we feel there are too many malcontents or just because we want to. Klaus Schwab just said we need to get population back to under what it was in the 1400s.
What gives you or Klaus Schwab the right to kill everyone off? Isn't that God's decision?
Hey Beisnich, we make the global Dixons around here. If you want to help make global decisions for our crime syndicate, you must first join our superhero consortium and then work your way up the ranks if you do so choose. But instead, you support MAGA.
Look. All I know is that I am not getting a microchip. I am not getting any gene therapies, and there will be no scams on my face.
Okay, green dude. I will make you a deal. I will not bring you to that FEMA camp, sir. However, you must get your monkeypox gene therapy and monkeypox boosters, your COVID boosters, your gene therapy for COVID and the COVID passport, and for the love of Michael Robinson Obama, you must get the bloody scam on that face.
Never. Like I said, I do not negotiate with globalist pedophiles.
That's some details, you green dude. We are going to make it difficult for anyone who is to play ghetto games such as yourself. We are going to kill all the cows on this planet. Then we can kill all the chickens and pigs. Then we can make sure the fish are too polluted to live. Now we can also ban fertilizer so the farmers cannot grow food. We will make it virtually impossible to live your life. We are already making it very hard for adults as we ban gas and oil. We need all your nincompoops to get electric vehicles so we can turn them off when we do not like your mean tweets. That is what we call freedom, sir.
I promise you. God does not approve of this at all. You are going to pay for crimes of humanity.
You are on the wrong side of history, sir. We are going to kill and destroy every single person, animal, tree, plant, vitamin, insect, molecule or air, and droplet of water. That is what the Great Reset is, sir. We need planet Earth to have absolutely zero on this something that occur. Our powers above us says that we need to remove everything that has carbon in it or can assist carbon in any way. Haven't you seen on our fake news that we are only interested in zero net carbon? The carbon we need to remove is you.
Hey everyone. We do not have to put up with the Great Reset. Get educated. Listen to the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. He shares all the real news of what is going on. You need to find out how to prepare yourself so you do not have to stand in line to scan your microchip to get food. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and you can even call in and talk to Proof. freedomizerradio.com.
Hey Biznich, we are not going to tell everyone to listen to freedomizerradio.com. You are a complete buzzkill, a something blocker, and someone we need to eradicate from this earth. Everyone needs to stay locked up in their residence, eats bugs, and then wait for us to take it to the FEMA camp. That does not exist. You can trust me because I get paid by G. Lobist.
Alright, I hope that was okay.
That was a good one. They were both good.
Yeah, but yeah, you might have heard great. That before. I know that Heather's never seen a wiretap before, so I wanted to get her opinion because she's fresh into this.
Okay, I love Broccoli Man. Instead of offering up his kumquats, he offered up his cojones, and we need more men like that.
Yeah.
So the whole catalog of Broccoli Man, the years in multiples are available on Rumble. So hopefully people out there can check it out. And who knows, maybe you'll have a side project that you want to talk about at some point.
Absolutely. I think that's great, and I'm grateful that people, you know, with these inventive minds, are creating little things like this to expose the corruption and the plan that's set forth by the World Health Organization and these secret combinations. So, yeah, here we go. That's great.
Well, I'm glad you like, so hopefully you'll check out more of them and you'll get to see the other cast and characters of the trilogy.
All right, I'll definitely do that. probably drive my family crazy doing it. I love it.
Okay. All right, so it might be your turn for a topic there, Heather.
Ooh, okay. Lots to talk about. I'm starting through our patriotsprepared.net. We're starting a wild edible class. It's going to be kind of like a Jeep club or a book club, but aiming it at learning wild edibles. And hopefully you guys will all join us. That's our way of hopefully contributing to our local communities and getting people excited to be outdoors and love nature and be responsible stewards of our land and cultivate what God gave us. There's so many things to eat in your local parks and neighborhoods, and it's important when people are getting into this to purchase a book, because you can purchase so many online, but you may purchase one that has more edibles in the Midwest or the Eastern United States. So find something, find a book that may be in your local state park. That's written by somebody who knows that region, and start learning the different plants that are on the different elevations, because you'll find there's, you know, Utah is such diverse landscape, you know, desert, forest, and all these different treasures like all around us. But southern Utah will have some completely different edibles than a lot of what northern Utah has. Some will be similar. But,
okay.
Yeah, start getting out there and learning. What other subjects? I'm learning how to make my own ferment. So that's another exciting thing to get into is the ferment. Ferment, for me... God gave us bacteria to coexist, and we've been taught by a lot of medical professionals that bacteria is bad, you know, wash your hands and sterilize everything. But not a lot of people realize that there is this thing called yeast that we make bread with, and yeast is on everything, and yeast helps to ferment food, and it consumes sugars. And what's created is vinegars and kombuchas and great probiotics. And those probiotics help maintain and fix our gut health, which in return helps our mental state, because the mind and the gut are well connected. And eating fermented foods like cabbage and sauerkraut, kimchi, kombucha, can really help regulate your digestive system and help a lot of issues that we have from not being able to digest foods properly. And product of some of the ferment, some things that I'm learning is the mead. It's a honey wine. It's when you take yeast, honey, and water and ferment it. And one thing that's very interesting is when you're doing your ferments and you're processing a lot of these things, you're advised to never, ever use municipal water. And the reason why is because the municipal water has all of the nutrients and the minerals completely stripped from that water, and you've got products going into the water that supposedly make it safer to drink and kills the Giardia and the bacteria in that water, but they basically put bleach in our municipal water, and so it's not good for ferment, and it's also not good to bathe in bleach regularly. It can cause some skin irritations I think that's one of the main reasons why we're seeing a lot of skin ailments and skin cancers and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the water, going on to the next subject, spawning, you know, spinning off of the water subject, there is a water crisis going on in Utah, a big drought, and there's some problems with the Colorado Compact. So the Colorado Compact was a contract for the Colorado River water access to each state. And so that feeds all the way, you know, into California, feeds into Arizona, Nevada, Utah has a share of that Colorado Compact. And in Utah, our governor has declared a state of emergency here, a drought, which Utah is prone to. It's a desert state. And they're wanting people to use less water and slow the flow. And what a lot of people don't realize is the water that are feeding our cities, it's already contracted out and determined the usage the year before. So each city and each community will have a certain amount of water that's contracted. And right behind our back, our commissioners are allowing people with a lot of money to buy water shares and contract some of that money as well. So everybody's got their hand in the money, in the water, right? And each community is allocated a certain amount of water, but in the law, as it is written, for our communities, in part of the regulations, not really law, but how they're regulating, if communities use less water, then they'll get less water the next year. So so they're restricting our use of water for each year, and they signed into legislation last year that all new construction in the state of Utah will be limited for their water use.
And don't forget, too, that part of the Colorado River was rerouted, so they're yelling at people in Las Vegas to conserve water, but they rerouted the water so it doesn't get here. So they're reducing the water in Lake Mead on purpose.
It's incredible.
It is. It's absolutely criminal. And I will tell you that these data centers, so they just built a Facebook data center in Eagle Mountain, Utah, and it's right across the street from Silicon Slopes and about 5 minutes away from the NSA, the National Security Administration building,
mm-hmm.
that was built
at
Camp Williams. I know, right? They're getting real chummy.
Yeah.
So Facebook uses 2.2 billion gallons of water, and I may be quoting that wrong. Do not quote me on the amount of water that they're using. I'll have to pull it up. I printed out the article. But they are using like equivalent of like 6 football fields or something like that in a year of water. And so not only are our data centers consuming a massive amount of our water, they're not the only ones that are fighting for it, but our lovely state senators or federal senator, our senators have allowed the Department of Defense and mining contracts of our water, our salt water in Utah and our salt water brine in our southern aquifers to be contracted for lithium. And so they're restricting us poor folks and restricting us of our ability to have gardens and feed our animals and have agriculture for their data centers and for their Department of Defense to put battery in their equipment.
Gotta love it.
So, here you go. Yeah, show up, look, request government records in your state. Find out where your water's going. Research the mining in your state. Find out what's being contracted. And for your senators and commissioners that allowed these contracts to happen, call them out on it, expose them, and remove them from office.
Better said, easier said than done, though.
It is, especially with our elections.
Yeah, hard to find someone who would really just walk in there and do the right thing.
It really is. I've seen people in our local community step up and campaign, and some of them won, some of them lost. We've got a lot of rhinos in office. One thing I know that Utah's experiencing this, so I know that other states have to be experiencing this. But because the Democrats are so tired of the Republicans winning office, because that's typically who the people favor, because they're more for people running the government instead of themselves. But they're calling themselves conservatives. And we had one in our local community in particular. Her name is Becky Edwards. And she ran on a Republican campaign, but was not even in – there wasn't an ounce of conservative blood in her body. And I went to one of the meet and greets. Oh, no, it was caucus. So we went to caucus, and I was trolling her. And one of her helpers came over because she was quite irritated with me asking Becky Edwards a lot of really intimidating questions. She's like, "Who are you voting for, honey?" And I said, "Well, I'm voting for Mike Lee." And then she says, "Oh, I can't vote for Mike Lee. He's a conservative." But Becky Edwards was running on
And those are her exact words.
Her exact words.
But keep in mind, I read several posts today where people are upset that the Republican Congress voted to not fund the 87,000 new IRS agents. So how many of those Democrats are actually hoping that they get audited? Because I don't know many people that are calling the IRS asking if they can get audited.
Crazy.
Certainly. Well, I think who needs an audit is our
government.
Senators and find out who's in their back pockets, like Pfizer and all these big companies.
That's true, yeah. Proof, did you hear in that $2 trillion spending bill that they put out that there was Dan Bongino talked about it. In the bill, it said that none of the money in this bill is to be used for border security or technology or anything. That's crazy, man. It's just crazy what they're doing. You can't tell me that Biden is not. This is intentional. This is an intentional. They're saying January 6th was an insurrection. It's crazy. Our government is actually allowing this to happen.
They've
you're not allowed to spend this money on anything that you need to spend money on, so it's only for pork projects.
Yeah, and meanwhile, they're sending money to Lebanon, or I forget what country in the Middle East. No, Ukraine also, but there was Palestine, maybe. They were helping them build some kind of a border wall.
Yeah, they're trying to – the World Economic Forum and the United Nations has announced recently that they are going to call forth a hearing in regards to Israel and their occupation of Palestine. And they voted in favor of that. Yeah, kind of scary. We're not facing anything more horrendous than what our forefathers fought against. They were fighting against a massive, massive power.
Yep.
Things that they thought were insurmountable. And they still stood up.
Yep, 3%.
And they fought in ice-cold weather, some without shoes and bleeding and cracking, and I'm sure it was the most horrific pain they've ever felt, and they still pushed forward. We're going to have to be tempered. We are going to have to face storms that we may fear so much, but we have to push through fear. We have to step forward and become more active in our communities in positive, positive ways. And be that person that you want your neighbor to be. You have to be that person. And fuck your feelings.
Yeah.
I've heard you guys say the F word on the air, so I'm doing it.
Yeah, not very often. Because yes, I only say it when it's quoted to me, but yeah.
Well, I'm saying it. So
the house rule basically is if it's quoted, it's fine. Every so often, it's fine. I don't want sailor talk. That's it. That's the rule.
I feel the same. But we, you know, at some point, people are going to have to conquer their emotions, and because emotions get us in trouble. And you look at some of these.
You just read my mind.
Tempered monks who, I don't know if you remember, my boyfriend has shown me a video of the monks that set themselves on fire. The monks.
Mm-hmm.
It was a protest. And they had to be so tempered that they were so tired. They did it so peacefully and so gracefully. They pushed through all of the pain, all of their emotions, and I'm not saying to go and do what they did, but it's a lesson to all of us of what we need to do to put ourselves in check and to become the people that we need to become in order to help our communities and save our country.
Well said.
Yeah, I just feel like it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better because it doesn't hurt enough just yet. And it'll be either they shut the money down and they try to force us onto a digital currency, they accept a microchip, or they tell us to accept a microchip, or they take the guns away. Any of those three things... but if it's not one of those three things, they're not interested.
Yeah.
Sure. And I think that people want to be comfortable. And I think you're right. There needs to be a certain level of uncomfort for people to change. And that's the way it is in all of our lives, in relationships, in school, in work. There's got to be some kind of level of uncomfort in order for us to grow. And I will say that a lot of people are predicting the future, and they're going to make it happen because they're thinking it, and thinking it and believing it is a part of achieving it. And so I hope that we can have the practice of imagining the tomorrow that we want instead of the tomorrow that we don't want, because all of us putting this energy into this future that we don't want is counterproductive, and we're creating the reality. So I'm hoping that people will put more energy into creating more of the future that they want and envisioning that and feeling it and knowing it and owning it so that we can see that day.
There you go.
Amen.
All right, so what
else
do we
have? I feel like I've heard your voice.
Go ahead.
Have you heard of Defender 7?
No.
I haven't, no.
Oh, you haven't? Okay, you sound like one of them. They're a group of veterans that get together and talk about, you know, preparedness and stuff like that.
Well, I'm a prepper, yes. I'm not with any particular group. But I would be considered a terrorist by our government.
Well, people can call names all they want. That doesn't mean that because you call somebody a name, that's what they are. Children call each other names.
Exactly.
On the playground.
And exactly. That's like calling you're a racist. Like, you know, that doesn't shame people anymore because it's so overused. You know you laugh at that. I laugh at it now. You know, and
is,
when
yeah.
someone tries to shame me, and I turn around and I say to them, "You think you're going to shame me with that? You serious? Come on,
it's laughable.
You're not going to shame me with that. It is laughable." And I call the youth of today. I call them the crayon kids. So that's how you have to have a conversation with them is with freaking crayons. That's all they understand.
You're right.
They're stupid. They're dumb.
If they say that enough, they somebody's going to believe it.
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean, that's a typical Nazi. That's Nazism 101. You know what I mean? That's the Goebbels playbook. You repeat a lie enough, people will believe it to be the truth. You know? And the things that they're hearing, capitalism bad, you know, white man racist, white man, you know, is evil, you know, and these are the whites saying it. That's the killer of it all.
Yeah, but they don't realize that my fourth great grandfather fought in the 10th Company GAC in Indiana for the North. To free a community, to preserve their constitutional rights, because
right.
the Constitution is for all men.
It's for everyone, yep, exactly.
And one thing I want people to know, just as if, you know, like when you wake up and you start your day, you live your life, the Constitution isn't a piece of paper. It's an action that lives within all of us. We have to be the Constitution. It's not that piece of paper. It's not what you're reading. It's how you live and how you allow other people to treat you and suppress you. It's not something that's in a museum. It's a way of life. It is us. It is in every single one of us, and we have to live it. We have to program ourselves to be free men because we inherited a system that we are enslaved in.
And they think that system is good. They think that system works.
But can you imagine that most people will be okay with having a digital currency with negative interest rates and then being controlled on how to use it and then having to get a microchip in order to have their bank account? People will actually do this.
Well,
people
it.
Have
they
lined up in other countries for chips. And
listen, they run to get the microchip just like they're running to get that booster. And that is a fact.
Well, with this COVID stuff, we've seen a lot of people fill those great and spacious buildings and line up for, you know, so they can get on their social medias and purchase digital everybody.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, you know, Rosa Parks, she was a Democrat, but that woman had some strength. And
Rosa Parks.
Yeah, in spite of her, you know.
In spite of what she did over the last 15 years.
They were different.
In spite of what she did.
And, yeah, she stood up to a force that had suppressed her people. And she wouldn't take it anymore. She had had enough, and she had worked hard, and she was not going to move out of that seat for a man who should have bowed to her and respected her and treated her as the woman, the strong woman that she was.
As a human being she is, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. She stood against that. And you know what they did? She got with her community, and they organized a boycott, and they refused to lose those buses or use those buses. They were told that they needed to use those buses or else, and they stayed firm, and they walked, and they carpooled, and they fought the system, and they brought it down, and they changed the system. She's a phenomenal woman for what she did. And we need more Rosa Parks.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, Heather, you made the 3-hour show almost. So, hopefully you don't have your resignation letter ready and you want to come back next week, because I'd like to have you back next week.
Yeah, I'd love to be back.
Okay.
I talk a lot.
Thanks.
Good. Well, we figured out Tuesdays again, so now we have to figure out Mondays.
Don't worry about it. Just pay for this now.
That sounds good.
Thank you. By the way,
let me know how I can help.
Melaleuca selling meat now, and everybody's angry about it.
What's that?
What is it about this Melaleuca company that's selling beef and people are upset?
Oh, no.
That I don't know. Send me an article. I'd love to read about it and talk about it.
I promise you, if you ask in your Facebook feed, what is it about this Melaleuca selling beef, everybody will fill you in. I didn't read an article on it, but I keep 5,000 friends, and at least 20% of them were talking about it, and not a good way.
So Melaleuca is an oil that is a cleaner.
Well, it's not just tea tree oil. There's a multi-level marketing company called Melaleuca that sells vitamins.
Riverbend Ranch Black Label Beef. Melaleuca introduces Riverbend Ranch Black Label Superior Quality Beef exclusively to Melaleuca members. Is that what they're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, apparently they removed the article.
Well, I'm sure there's another article.
Okay. Announcement ruffled some feathers, apparently. Announced that they're going to not accept that. Melaleuca Huns. Of that. Oh, is it because they're all vegan? Oh my God! It's all of the hippies that buy Melaleuca. They're all vegan, so they're mad.
There's one in here. We've been trying to catch them.
Right in the corner where the...
Over here? Mobile to go?
Yeah. All right.
Here's a little big one. We got the cats
out. Hey, people, if you're busy, you just got a couple minutes left anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and let you handle business.
Okay, there's a little background noise, but...
So anyway, it's just me and you for about 2 minutes, and then you'll hear some weird music that says that we're almost done. So is that what it is? All the hippies are mad that they're selling meat?
I don't know. I'll look into it a little bit further, but that's in the first, like, 20 seconds of researching it, that's just what I'm catching from putting down. So I don't know. It sounds interesting, but I'm looking forward to learning what's going on.
Okay.
But, yeah, Melaleuca is an oil, and
right, I know. I have some on my desk right here, tea tree oil.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love tea tree. Tea tree is a cure-all.
Yeah, we're a doTERRA family here.
Yeah, I love my oils, you know, and the aid, just that concentrated part of the plant. I mean, it's medicinal. Plants are medicinal. Oils are medicinal. I think they're great. More people should get into it. But, yeah, tea tree is one of my absolute favorite. I stock up on that stuff. And just got some frankincense. That's been really nice to use. I love that fragrance. Love frankincense. Looking into getting some actual myrrh.
Okay.
So myrrh is good for oral health.
We only have a few seconds here or else we get cut off regardless of if we're ready to go or not. So, Heather, thank you so much for being here. We'll talk and prep for next week. Everyone else, I'll be back tomorrow. So please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here. But until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail. Hope for live forever. Only to get the forest fights. I am Negative and I move.